Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome back to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us, and if you haven't been with us before, well, welcome. If this is your first time, we hope that you enjoy our show. This is a show that talks about sports, but we talk about sports in a different light. We talk about sports and the Christian faith of a number of athletes that are in the game. And it's summertime, or getting to be summertime. It is getting close, and it's baseball season. And it's always a lot of fun to talk to baseball players. And one of the guys that I've gotten to know in the past year or so is the third baseman for the Indianapolis Indians. And he also has been brought up and plays for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and that's Brent Morrell. Brent Morrell was a player with the Chicago White Sox for a while, and played a full season with them at third base. And for the last couple of years, he's kind of been up and down with the Pirates and is now currently playing for the Indianapolis Indians. It's really interesting how Brent and I got a chance to meet each other. We actually were at a meet and greet for the Indianapolis Indians, and Brent just was one of the players who came over, asked me what I did. I told him that I had this ministry called Face to Face, and he volunteered to be on it. That doesn't happen very often, but Brent is a solid Christian ball player, and this is an interview that we did about a year ago, right after that time when we got together. And we thought that you would enjoy hearing it again, particularly since it's always good to know who the Christian athletes are, and know that there are a lot of athletes in sports that are not getting in trouble, that are faithful to their wives, and athletes who have a strong Christian faith. So we will take this break, and when we come back, you'll hear the interview that we did with Brent Morrell of the Indianapolis Indians and the Pittsburgh Pirates. We'll take this break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us today. And today our guest is Brent Morrell, the third baseman in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization, currently playing for the Indianapolis Indians, but just finished a stint with the Pirates. Brent, that's first of all, thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
I'll tell you what, that's being on that roller coaster, being on that merry-go-round, whatever you want to call it, where you go up and you come back, that's got to be tough. How tough is it to come back to Indianapolis after spending a few days with the Pirates?
It's not tough, really. It's something that I've prepared for, and you know, stuff that we go over mentally in our heads, different situations you're going to have to prepare for throughout the year. And just knowing that there's going to be opportunities to go up and come down, but just got to stay level-headed and keep playing no matter where I am.
You have to make some changes. I know that you've been a third baseman. You've been doing some things at second base. And are there adjustments that you have to make sometimes when you get into an organization like this?
Not too much. It's all doing the same similar things. You know, I moved around the diamond since I was a little kid, but you know, got the opportunity to move around again this year, playing a little second, first, and third base, and just doing, you know, whatever they want, whatever I could help the team, you know, more valuable playing different positions.
I was going to say that that means a lot to a team when you're not nailed down to one position, when you can play a lot of different positions.
Yeah, especially in the National League when all the double switches and pinch hits and stuff like that, if they could move guys around instead of burning somebody off the bench, it definitely helps.
Tell me about the level at AAA here compared to the level with the majors. It seems like they're not too far apart. It's almost like it's a numbers game. There's just these guys, a lot of these guys can play at the majors like yourself. It's just a matter of what's available at the top.
Yeah, you know, there's a big variety in AAA. Guys that are, you know, 21, 22 coming up through the system for the first time. And then there's guys, you know, in their mid-30s, late 30s that are, you know, have 10 years in the big leagues and trying to get back. And, you know, the most important thing is everybody just wants to get to that next level. You know, everybody has the same goal, and, you know, we're all working together to get back.
Now, you've had some time in the majors. You had some good time in the majors, quite honestly, with the White Sox. What's the difference? How much do you have to adjust to the aura of when you walk into a major league park compared to what's a great park here at Indianapolis?
Yeah, I mean, can't say enough about this field here in the Indy. If you're going to be in AAA, this is a great city and great field to play on. But it's still nice. I mean, I think guys that, you know, like I said, have 10 years in the big league still get awed a little bit when they walk into a major league stadium, how nice they are now and how modern and all the amenities that they have. You know, we're still little kids at heart and, you know, love playing at that level.
Let's talk about that a little bit. You were drafted out of Cal Poly or Southern California. Southern California, is that where you come from?
Yeah, Central Valley, Bakersfield, California, a little north of L.A.
You came out of that. You were drafted by the White Sox in 2008. You were in the majors in 2010. Can you remember your first break, your first time you were in the majors? Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, just coming through the White Sox system there and started the year in Double-A and moved up to Triple-A and, you know, got luckily enough and blessed enough that, you know, in September there, I made the roster expansion and, you know, got my first month up there. And, yeah, it was definitely something that I dreamed hard about and worked hard, you know, my whole life to be able to accomplish that goal. It was really special.
Can you remember your first day in the majors and who the pitcher was and what happened?
Yeah, I didn't start for a while. My first game, I got called up in Boston and never played and then got a pinch hit here and there. And my first start was against Bruce Chinn and the Royals and got my first home run and my first hit and got those all out of the way. So it was a nice little treat there.
Your first hit was a home run off of Bruce Chinn, mm-hmm. Kansas City Royals. That did that take away any of the nervousness? You come up the second time and you think, hey, I've kind of got this made?
Yeah, I mean, definitely don't think you got it made, but it definitely relieves a lot of pressure that, you know, you put on yourself for no reason, but that's just part of the learning experience of being a young player. And once you get that first hit, I mean, every year, even now, the first year of the year in AAA, you know, it's just take a deep breath and, all right, it's all downhill from here.
2011, you were the regular third baseman, 126 games for the White Sox. You had a really decent year. What do you remember about that year, 2011?
Just traveling around, seeing all these stadiums on TV, then, you know, getting to be a part of it, hearing my name called in all these different stadiums, and just doing the thing I always dreamed about as a little kid, you know, watching so many games, and just to be able to experience that. And, you know, we had a lot of older guys in Chicago, and they wanted to win really bad, and, you know, just to be a rookie and be a part of that, you know, I learned a lot.
Played with guys like Paul Konerko, who had actually, I knew Paul Konerko a little bit from another friend in the majors, and I saw him and have seen him come up through the AAA and then have seen him, and now he's kind of at the tail end of his career. But guys like that, what do they teach you? Guys that have been in the majors so long, what do guys like that teach you when you get there?
I remember having a conversation with Konerko. He was our team captain at the time, and he had a day off, you know, one of my first weeks up there, and just talking to him on the bench about just trying to keep a level head. You know, you're going to have some good games and get praise, you know, more than you should. You're going to have some bad games, and people are going to be a little too harsh on you, but, you know, you can't really worry about either one, the good or the bad, and try to stay level-headed because it's going to be a long year. And just seeing how they come to the field, how they prepare, you know, in the cage and the weight room, how they take care of their bodies for 162 games, it's something you definitely have to learn as you're a young kid coming up.
Now, you talk about playing in a number of different stadiums in the American League with 126 games. Probably you saw every American League stadium and a few National League stadiums. What were some of your favorites?
You know, it was nice to go home in California and just play there. American League, we had Oakland and Anaheim, you know, to get to play in, you know, a lot of friends and family there. That was a cool experience. But I still remember going into Boston and Yankee Stadium and all these all-time greats across town there in Chicago, Wrigley Field, you know, all the history. And like I said, just to hear your name in the starting lineup on those fields with amongst the greats that have played there.
You played for Ozzie Guillen. And that, from an outsider standpoint, I know he can be kind of fiery. What's he like as a manager?
I mean, he is fiery. That's his personality. But whether he's trying to or not, he takes away a lot of the attention from the players and puts it on himself. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. He kind of just lets the players play and deals with the media himself, and they want to talk to him after the game to, you know, and just kind of lets his players go about the business. And, I like playing for him.
Our guest is Brent Morrell. He's the third baseman in the Pirates organization and now playing for the Indianapolis Indians. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Brent Morrell, and Brent, so happy to have you here. It's been kind of a touch and go situation getting you on here with the rain and with your moving up, fortunately. And so we're almost fortunate on our end to have you here. But I hope that you're back up there before long, and I know you probably will be. What's the pressure like for an everyday player in the majors? It would seem that the pressure would be immense, but do you get to a place to where you kind of work through it? And one thing about baseball, you can be over and within a few hours you're back out on the field again.
Yeah, definitely. Pressure in baseball could be kind of put on by yourself a lot too much, and that's one of the things, you know, you just have to learn and experience trying to do too much as a young kid coming up in a system, and just knowing your role, knowing there's guys that are getting paid a lot of money to drive in runs and do different things, and, you know, finding little ways to help the team win so you don't put so much pressure on yourself. But that was one of the things I was saying about Canerco, is, you know, not trying to read everything good about yourself either at the same time, and don't believe how good you are in writing and this and that, because at the same time you're going to have a lot of bad games, a lot more bad games than good games. And, you know, if you're not believing the good things they said, it's easy to not believe everything bad they're saying about you, too.
Let me ask you about where you've gone spiritually. I know just as your baseball career has had a journey, I know you've had a spiritual journey, too. What's your spiritual journey? What's it been like?
Yeah, I grew up with a Christian family. My uncle's a pastor, and grandpa came to the Lord real late in life. You know, so it was always in our family, but to go out on your own and, you know, be with a group of guys for so long and face so many of, you know, temptations and trials throughout the years, it definitely puts a lot on you to have a strong personal relationship with God, or, you know, you could fall into so many traps throughout the season. And you know, it's something that I struggled with, and that, you know, it just draws you closer to the Lord as, you know, you grow older and experience these things, how to handle them.
Was there a time when you accepted Christ? Was there a time when you felt Christ came into your life for the first time?
Yeah, I felt always I had a relationship with God, with Christ, growing up, going to church and stuff. But I didn't get baptized till I was in college at Cal Poly. And, you know, with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes program there, and a lot of good teammates, you know, finally got baptized and felt my life change from there.
You grew up in Bakersfield. That's a hotbed of baseball. A lot of guys come out of Southern California, Middle California area. Were there any guys that you see in the majors that you ran into in high school?
High school, I played against Dominguez, who kind of came up through the system at the same time as me. He's with the Astros now, playing third base. Played with a couple major leaguers in high school, but a lot more guys, you know, that you face in the college days.
I know that baseball is a fraternity in many ways. You have relationships with guys not only on your own team but on the other team, because players move around a lot. You find that there's Christian ball players that kind of hang out together, and you kind of in this world where you have so many temptations that there are Christian guys that can help you, support you a little bit?
Yeah, there's definitely a good group of Christian guys on every team I've ever played on. And just getting together with chapel and stuff, and just gives you somebody to talk to, somebody that's experienced everything you've experienced, because some people that you're looking for advice from may not know exactly everything that goes on and goes through. But to have Christian teammates on your team that like I said, experienced everything you have and have overcome things and have had different trials on their part. Just learning from everybody's been a blessing.
I know a guy that was on your White Sox team as a chaplain, Mickey Weston, a guy that had some major league experience and experience wasn't just a pastor who came off the streets, but he was a guy that knew a little bit about the ropes and the majors. Tell me a little bit about Mickey as a chaplain and what relationship you guys had, particularly during the 2011 season when you were seeing him every day.
Yeah, we have a great relationship there. They, like I said, between chapels on Sundays and Bible studies throughout the week, it just gave you somebody that, like I said, just has been in your shoes before and has touched so many lives and has heard about and talked with guys so many different trials that all these guys have faced throughout the year. He's a real blessing to have there in Chicago and still keep in touch with them today.
Tell me, what is it that people don't understand particularly about major league players from a spiritual standpoint, some of the things that you go through? What are a couple of things that the average fan would not understand about you as a player and what you have to go through?
I think just baseball in general, not even spiritually speaking, is the amount of failure that's in baseball and how you handle that. We're here because we're great competitors, and as a hitter, you're going to have so many bad games throughout the year and go on different slumps and this and that, and it's hard on you. I mean, a spiritual level or playing level that, you know, something that's tough to go through, and how people handle that kind of says a lot about their character and how they get going through that.
What keeps you strong? You have to stay strong, of course, physically every day, and you have to keep yourself up. What keeps you strong spiritually?
I think keeping in touch with family members and friends and having that accountability here with the guys in chapel on the team. Accountability is huge, and if you could have guys on the team that hold you accountable, it makes it a lot easier to get through it.
Is there anyone in baseball that has kind of been a mentor to you spiritually that's kind of helped you along as you've come up?
To be honest, I would say my grandpa, who actually just passed away a few weeks ago, but he was always on me spiritually. He came to the Lord real late in life, and his number one goal in life was to share the word and, you know, to get people to come to Christ late. Because, I mean, he came to the Lord so late that, you know, he didn't give up on anybody. And he was always keeping in touch with me and, you know, not really asking so much about baseball, just how I'm handling different situations and what's God showing me throughout the whole process. And, you know, somebody I'm going to miss, but somebody I've learned a lot from.
I know that there's groups like SCORE and other groups like that, UPI, that have taken baseball players. Mickey Weston's been a part of that, taking players going to other countries. Have you ever experienced anything like that? Have you ever done anything like
never,
that?
Never gone outside the country yet. Something that I'm really interested in doing with those guys. You know, you hear about it every year, how great a time they have and how many lives they've touched, you know, but I've always stayed here in everything I've done and tried to help out in the community and, you know, really, but I think our calling a lot as Christian athletes is the guys around us. You know, we're put on a team for a reason, and we're here with so many guys for 6-7 months at a time. And that openness and that friendship that we can make could, you know, really save someone's life.
Brent Morrell, I really appreciate the fact that you're taking some time out before tonight's game to talk not just about baseball, but about your own spiritual life. I'd like to wrap it up this way. I don't know whether you have one or not, but is there a favorite verse or anything that you kind of fall back on that you have?
I would say Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for me. Something that I've always tried to stick to. And like I said about the baseball process, there's going to be a lot of people to wonder why me or why this guy, why somebody getting hurt or somebody getting called up. And that verse, to be able to really trust in God's plan and know you're right where you need to be, you know, for that reason. And, you know, to find something good out of every situation, you know, has helped me throughout my minor league and major league experience.
Yeah, it's a good verse. Trust in the Lord with all your your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. A verse that I, too, have known for a long time. Brent, thanks for being with us. Good luck, and we'll certainly be praying for you and keeping an eye on your career.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Brent Morrell, the Pittsburgh Pirates. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face.
Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Brent Morrell, and it's always good to see him play. It's always a joy when we see some players that are solid Christian ball players get called up, and we hope that Brent gets called up very soon. A couple of players that we've had a chance to talk to lately playing for the Milwaukee Brewers, and as we said, it's always good to see when players get a chance to come up. One of those is a Christian ball player named Rob Wooten of the Milwaukee Brewers. And we're going to have him on the show here in a couple of weeks. But just always want to alert you and make you aware of when there are Christian ball players out there that you can see and pray for. When you go to a game, you know, if you know that there's some Christian ball players on the field, if you know there's some players on the field, it's always good, I think, to cheer for them a little extra hard. Hard to pray for them, because they really have a strong ministry, just like Brent's ministry is not just to fans, but it's a ministry to other players in the clubhouse. And many times over in the last 25 years, I have seen where players have become Christians through the testimony of a teammate. And we pray for guys like Rob Wooten, Brent Leach, who's now playing for the Colorado Springs Sky Sox in the Brewers organization, Brent Morrell, and those are just a couple of the names. And as we go along in our show, as we go along in the season, we will try to give you the names of more Christian ball players, particularly Christian baseball players. Well, one thing that's coming up for us, and we hope you'll be a part of it, is our 17th annual 17th annual face-to-face golf tourney. That happens on June the 9th, and it happens at Otter Creek Golf Course, one of the most beautiful golf courses in the United States. And it's in Columbus, Indiana. For $125, you can play in this tournament, and you can have a great time. We got fabulous prizes, and just be an opportunity to play and strengthen the ministry of face-to-face. We do a lot. We have a lot of different things going on, a lot of different aspects, writing, speaking, and of course the testimony of a lot of different Christian athletes, which you'll hear perhaps only on this show. So we hope that you'll take time on June 9th to come out and come to Otter Creek and play in our face-to-face golf outing. By the way, you can sign up for that on our website, and our website is at facetofaceradio.com, facetofaceradio.com. And when you're at that website, you can hear the interviews from other athletes that we've had in the past. We've got a number of our shows archived there. You can hear those, and we hope that you will check that out. Well, as we close for you today, I want to take you to the Book of Psalms, favorite psalm, Psalm 37:4, which says this: delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, if your passion is to know Jesus Christ and to be a testimony for Jesus Christ, if you delight yourself in that, he will give you the desires of your heart. We really, truly believe that, and we've seen that in our own lives, and we've seen that in the ministry of Face to Face. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202, or call Face to Face Ministries at 812-376-3000 or toll free at 1-800-479-0952. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.
We'll be right back.